Well, what a fiasco. If you have a car that's needing an MOT for the first time, you now do not know when an appointment will be given to you. The Minister, Nicola Mallon, was on the Nolan Show yesterday reassuring people about these MOT extensions. The reality is that it's up to you. This is for people that have had more than your MOT test already, by the way. Let's set this all out. So if you've already had an MOT test and you're going for an MOT renewal, what the government is going to do, the government in Northern Ireland, they're going to extend your MOT certificate by 4 months. But there is no categoric reassurance to you that your insurance will be valid. It is up to you, says the British insurance industry, to check out with your individual insurer. Now, I would have thought that the Department for Infrastructure could be trying to check that out for the people of Northern Ireland, should be trying to use their lawyers to contact the insurance industry and say, look, what is the score here? But as it stands at the moment, you are left with the responsibility of chasing your insurer. And this is people, you know, who have enough to do, who are going out and working and looking after their kids and getting their kids to school and paying the bills. And this is where the situation has left you. You know, you're driving your kids to school, you're picking your kids up from school, for goodness sake, all of those real life issues. But there is another astonishing development this morning, and it is that the DVA still do not know what the size of this problem is, because the problem now focuses on those people whose cars are coming up to being 4 years old and are needing an MOT for the first time, because those exemption certificates do not apply because they're extending an MOT. So if you haven't had it, you can't get it extended. So you're basically now left in a situation, if you clear all the language away from what these civil servants are telling you, the bottom line is you have no idea when you're going to get your appointment. They're saying they're working on it as soon as possible. And then, in terms of safety in Northern Ireland, how have we been in a situation where a crack was discovered in a lift in November? Staff were allowed to continue to work under those lifts. We get into late January. We had a minister on this programme yesterday not knowing that within 24 hours, all MOT tests in Northern Ireland would have to be cancelled. It is a shambles. Paul Duffy is the chief executive of the DVA in Northern Ireland. He was in the studio a matter of moments ago, and I asked him for his explanation to the public as to what is going on.
The first time that I came aware of the seriousness of the issue was on the 21st of January.
Well, that's not quite the question, though, is it? It's not about the seriousness of the issue. When did you first become aware that there were any cracks in any lifts in Northern Ireland?
That would have been sort of at the beginning of January. There was talk that I'd been informed that there was some cracks on lifts, but it was reported that these were repairable. There was no issues with them. They weren't causing any safety issues. And it was just a matter that our health and safety team were looking at it.
So who told you that wrong, incorrect, misleading information?
Well, at that time, we had taken some, we'd asked the contractor who was in place, who's responsible for the maintenance and service of our equipment. We had inspections ongoing on our equipment from July. Those inspections up until November had been through 9 test centres. It had checked every lift in those 9 test centres. And as at the beginning of November, not a single crack had been noticed. In November, the inspector then noticed a crack in 2 of the lifts in Lauren Test Centre, and the advice from the inspector was the cracks in the lifts, investigate, repair within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
So you didn't find out in January, you found out in November?
Personally, no, because these were just normal routine issues that crop up whenever you use a mechanical equipment, that they will break down at times.
I think one of the biggest issues here is that you've been working with a contractor or someone that has told you there was no safety issue, when clearly there's been such a safety issue that you've had to close the whole operation down.
Well, Stephen, last night I had asked, we were seeking assurance from the contractor on the safety of the equipment, given the ongoing repairs we were doing. I wasn't given sufficient assurance around that, and that was the reason I had to move very quickly to suspend the testing.
But how did you ask for that insurance just last night, rather than many days ago when the story broke?
No,
so you've allowed a minister to come out and reassure people that repairs were going on. It must be deeply embarrassing for Nicola Mallon that less than 24 hours later, her assurances have meant nothing.
So what I would say, Stephen, is this issue has moved very, very quickly. We were ensuring and getting assurance from the inspector that any lifts that were being used were safe. So if there was a crack on a lift, the lift was put out of action, it was repaired, it was re-inspected by the inspector, and then it was put back into operation.
And those assurances from that inspector have clearly been false.
That's an issue now that we are urgently considering with the contractor.
Are you still watching? Are you still working with that contractor?
We have a contract with them, and we're now into some sense of commercial discussions.
But are they still doing work for you?
At the moment, we have a contract with them. The system, all the lifts and the equipment now are not being used.
But would you be trusting them to go in and fix them?
We will be taking getting an independent inspection done off those lifts.
So in this interim period, when your staff have been lying under those lifts, they've been in danger, haven't they?
I wouldn't say that. We have asked, the inspector has assured us that any lifts that we were using were safe to use.
But that's the same inspector that you've had to go back now and question their ability.
No, the inspector said that the repairs that were being carried out on the lifts, that he could no longer stand over those repairs.
But he was standing over them when?
Over the week prior to that. So he had looked at the repairs, assessed the repairs, and in most cases he was content then for that lift to go back.
So what's changed in a week?
In the operation? Well, the assessor seemed to be saying that, the inspector said that, on Monday the assessor went to Enniskillen to check out lifts that had been repaired. And he came away saying he wasn't satisfied with that repair.
We have had a rather curious response, because one of your staff contacted the programme yesterday and told us that a lift did collapse. And we went back to your department, to the Department for Infrastructure, actually, and we said, look, how many lifts have collapsed in 2019? You've ducked the question.
Well, I can tell you now, Stephen, no lifts have collapsed in 2019.
Well, that's not true, is it? Because the statement then says there was a hydraulic failure on a lift, which was reported to the contractor.
Yes, that's not a lift collapse.
What's that?
The hydraulic jack is a component on top of the lift. It's not the lift. There has been no lifts have collapsed, and built into those lifts are safety precautions to minimise the risk of a lift collapsing. But that was a hydraulic jack failure.
So what happened? What's a hydraulic? What's the difference between a hydraulic failure and a lift collapsing?
So the hydraulic jack sits on top of the lift, so it does, and it raises a vehicle by about 4 or 5 centimetres.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of the hydraulic jack. Now that failed. That is not unusual.
So did the car fall down 5 or 6 centimetres?
The car, I imagine it would move back down onto the lift, which was secure, and there was.
But it fell 5 or 6 centimetres.
I'm saying that it raises a car up by 4 or 5, 6 centimetres, but I'm not sure.
For people that have bought a car and they're law-abiding citizens and they've got jobs and they haven't had their first MOT, they're coming up to their first MOT, so they can't avail of the MOT exemption certificate, the extension. What do they do?
So at the moment, we are prioritising those four-year-old cars and those taxis. So we still have 18 lanes operating across our test centres, which don't use lifts. So we are contacting those customers as we speak, to prioritise them and get them through those lanes.
But the news is this morning that all MOT tests have been cancelled.
Yes, they have been cancelled. But so what we are doing is we're freeing up capacity on those lanes that would have been used for other people to ensure we prioritise taxis and get the taxis through and get four-year-old vehicles through those remaining lanes.
But why have you cancelled people's MOT tests rather than simply keeping the MOT tests in place for those people that are coming up for their first MOT?
It's not quite as simple as that, Stephen. What we need to do is we need to remove people from the system to create capacity for those four-year-old vehicles. So anybody with a four-year-old vehicle, we are contacting them directly, and we're working on the basis that those who have a certificate expiring the soonest, we are prioritising them and getting them through the test.
And what's the likely timeline for someone getting an MOT test? If they're having it for the first time, give them a sense. Should they be waiting just a couple of days, weeks? What's the planning show?
At the moment, we're assessing that this morning. So we've run a report to look to see what vehicles, 4-year-old vehicles, have MOTs expiring over the next number of weeks. So we're planning on how quick we can get them through the test.
So you don't know.
Well, I can't give you an exact time frame. What I'm saying is we're working to ensure those whose MOT expires the soonest are brought in before it expires.
No, I get that. But for people in a real situation now, which is, you know, they're without their car, so they can't pick their kid up from school, literally.
Well, that's...
So can you not give... why wasn't this done yesterday or the day before?
That's if their MOT has expired.
Correct.
So it is. I'm here at the moment, so I don't know how many people that is. But I wouldn't imagine it's a huge amount of people. But we will be prioritising them and getting them through as quick as possible.
For everybody that is coming up to their car being for the first time 4 years old, there's no statistical data in Northern Ireland to show you.
Oh, there is.
What type of demand you're likely to face?
There is, and as I say...
What is that?
I'm sitting here today. I'm not in the office working on that now. So
but surely that's a crucial question. Crucial information should have been fed to you before now.
That information is being worked on as I speak, Stephen. I've been out this morning trying to inform the public as much as possible. I have a team back in the office who are working on that as we speak and contacting customers.
So we don't know what the size of the problem is. So therefore, you have no idea how quickly people will be able to get sorted. You just don't know.
Stephen, this decision was taken yesterday evening. We have been working until midnight on how we can resolve the issue as quickly as possible. My priority has been the safety of my staff and our customers coming into our test centres. That is number one priority. I apologise for the inconvenience to customers and the disruption. I am sincerely sorry that has happened, but my priority has to be with staff.
You seem like a nice guy. It's a nightmare for you.
It is a nightmare.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Right. Well, lots of questions coming from you this morning. And look... In these type of situations, what we can do is fire the questions to us and we'll make sure we try to get you the answers before the end of the programme. Robin in East Belfast, you're raising a fundamental question that I've actually missed, Robin. Morning to you.
Good morning. Yes, if a car needs to be taxed at, say, the end of January or the end of February, can this be done with a temporary MOT certificate? That's not clear.
As well as that, Robin, if someone, because don't forget the DVA are running around with these car clampers clamping people that don't have road tags.
Correctly.
So for those people who are coming up to have an MOT for the first time, so they have no chance, they can't get an exemption certificate, can they park their car on a public road?
Yes.
Because it's untaxed?
Yes, that's the question, but it's the numbers involved. 1/12 of all the cars in Northern Ireland need to be taxed each month. So that is a very large number.
It's a really good question. So what we need is, surely they've thought about this, let's get a question into them right now. Is the DVA also providing an exemption for untaxed cars during this period?
Or can
you tax it without having an MOT? I'm not talking about those cars that have the extension certificates. I'm talking about those people. Well, the extension certificates is a valid question, Robin. That's your question. But for those people who have bought a car, it's coming up to be 4 years old. And again, real life situation, they want to drive into the town and go to work. They want to drive in somewhere and shop. Can they legally park their car on a road if they haven't been able to get their car taxed because they haven't been able to get an MOT? Now, we'll urgently ask the DVA. I know that question's getting in as we speak. It's being written right now, and we will get you an answer. But again, in terms of communication, this should all be on a fact sheet right now, Robin.
It should. They need to actually have a backup system where some car garages are able to do an MOT test that if a problem like this arises, at least they're somewhere else, and there are many car garages that would, should be able to do it on a backup situation.
Tell you what, as is often the case in the Nolan Show, here's a real life example now. William in Armagh. Morning, William.
How are you doing?
Well, what's happened to you just last night?
Yesterday morning I went to get my van MOT'd and I pulled into the centre as normal, and there was one car in front of me, but your man came out of the centre and he turned her away, and then he came to me and I says, what's the problem? And he said, oh, they're not doing any MOTs. I said to him, well, could you not have contacted me and offered me a bait for me MOT from the start of January? He said, no. He says, they're just not doing them. And I says, well, what's happening? He said, you'll get a letter sent out to say when you will be MOT'd. And he says, how long will that be? He says, well, I reckon it could be about 4 months before you get your MOT. I says, well, sure, I can't have a car driving about for four months because I need it for work. And he said, well, I said, geez, you'd have thought that they would have sorted something out. He says, wait, I tell you. He says, they know this from October. They know this problem here from October. And I said, well
officially they're saying they know it from November.
Well,
Detected the first crack in the lift.
October.
Right.
So anyway, I proceeded on to, he said to me, you can go on. So I went straight home and I said to myself, well, this van isn't up, the MOT won't be up till 12 o'clock tonight, probably on the day that it's supposed to be up. So I went on the internet and I had the form to try and tax the van. So I went through all the procedure to tax it, and when I got to the end, it said, I'm sorry, you cannot tax this vehicle as it hasn't got a valid MOT certificate.
So are you allowed to legally park your car on any public road?
Well, a lot of the work I do would be parked on the side of the road. And I asked the fella in the MOT station, went back up to it, and I asked him what's happening, and he gave me a number for a customer service. I rang it to say they didn't deal with tax. And I said to him, well, like, if I'm parked on the main road going out of Armagh or wherever I am, is my van all right to sit there without being clamped? He said, well, I don't know. And the other question I want to know, Stephen, is if I'm not getting my van MOT'd for 4 months, in that 4 months' time, say in 4 months' time they send me out to go on MOT, will that tax be backdated till the 1st of February or wherever it is? You know what I mean? If your van isn't taxed and you can't get it MOT'd for 4 months, well, obviously you can't tax it. So when you go to tax it in 4 months' time, have you to backdate it till the 1st of February?
Are you telling me they don't even have an advisory notice on a website now when you go to tax your car to say, look, we're aware of a problem, here's what to do? They haven't.
Well, the website,
are you telling me it looks like they haven't thought about whether you can tax your car or not?
I'd say they haven't, because the form you get sent out for your tax, you just ring a number, it's an 11-digit number, excuse me, you ring that, and then your name obviously comes up. And when I done all that, it let me go through to do everything till it went to this. At the end, it just said, you cannot tax this vehicle as you haven't got a valid MOT.
Yeah, so what do you do?
Yeah, but I'm trying to say to you, my MOT was due yesterday on the 27th of January. So obviously that MOT wouldn't be up till 12 o'clock last night. You know what I mean? I would have been able to drive my van until 12 o'clock last night on the 27th of February. So how could I not have taxed my car? And then I rang to give me a number for customer service, and your man hadn't a clue. Yeah, I don't know nothing about that. I don't know about tax or anything at all. I don't know nothing about it.
For goodness sake. They need to get their act together. You know, this is basic information, but information that is...
You see your man there, like, and I'm not saying this, that he had on there. He hasn't a clue. Because some of the questions you were asking, he stuttered and he spluttered through them. He hadn't a clue what he was talking about. And that's my opinion of it, because half of them don't know. How in under God are they going to get all these MOTs done?
If they don't know how big the problem is. Like, I don't know, but you would have thought that one of the first things they would have tried to work out is, right, look, what's the size of the problem? How many people are coming up for an MOT for the first time? Because those are the people they're prioritising. And they're basically saying they will do it as soon as possible. Do you know what that means? As soon as possible could be from now until la-la land.
Wait till I tell you, Stephen, I have to go to work here. Some of us has to go to work there and lock a pound to pay for MOTs.
But listen, when you're talking about going to work, one final question, William. If you tried as a law-abiding citizen to tax your car, all right, and you couldn't do so because this country now can't provide you with an MOT test. Like, it's ridiculous.
Go down the street in Armagh and try and park in a disabled bay or something for 5 seconds and get £60 fine.
So here's my question. Are you allowed to drive your car on a public road?
Nobody has told me. I don't know.
Are they suspending the fines? Are they suspending the clamping of untaxed vehicles? Are the police have these little machines, don't they, that can detect whether you're fully insured
and
taxed and all?
They're all in cars. And in fact, yesterday I was coming from Portadown and there was one of them tax vans sitting on the side of the road. So if you're driving past, that number flicks up, and if you're not taxed,
all right.
That's the problem.
So look, the question is in to the DVA right now. It's already reached them. And that question is, are people allowed to park untaxed cars on the road if they are untaxed simply because they cannot get an MOT? And I think we need an urgent reply to that. For goodness sake, Minister Nicola Mallon, if you're listening to this morning, listen to this chaos. Listen to the people like William trying to get to work, and he doesn't know if he can drive to work. Jared and Derry. Morning, Jared.
Hi, Stephen.
Morning.
Just a quick one. My car's up for MOT now in February, but I was just listening to your last caller there about the tax. So if you've no MOT, you've no tax. But as a motorist, I'm more concerned about the fact that you have no insurance then. Because you've no tax, you have no insurance. So I'm just interested to know what would the PSNI's responsibility to this whole thing, because they're the guys on the road that's going to be stopping us motorists and detecting it. So it's interesting to hear what their response is to this whole dilemma, because the general motorist on the road, if you've no tax, no MOT, then your insurance is involved. What happens if you have a crash as well?
Well, in terms of insurance, there's a grey area in which, and you're going to hear an interview we've done with the Federation of British Insurance, I think it is, the Association of British Insurers. And they are saying, look, that insurers will look upon it, are likely to look upon it sympathetically. That's no good. We need a clear statement from people at the top in control in this country. Will insurance apply? If you've got an untaxed vehicle, does that invalidate your insurance?
It does legally. If you don't tax, you have no insurance. If you have a crash, that's the way they would look at it.
It's just crazy, this, Jared, isn't it?
It definitely is. And the fact that my car's up for MOT now in February, I don't know whether to go on and book it or not, because I don't know if I'm going to get a test or what way it's going to be. So I'm in one of those situations.
The car tax story is as big this morning. I'm telling you now, it is, until we get clarity around this. The department systems are still rejecting people. Okay, let me just describe this farce in this simple sentence. The same department that cannot provide you with an MOT are refusing to tax your vehicle if it's not MOT'd.
Yeah. So what do we do as motorists? And what does the PSNI say about it too? Because they're the ones are going to be stopping us motorists on the road because of these offences.
We'll get a question into the PSNI right now as well. Thank you. Harold in Portadown. Morning, Harold.
Oh, Stephen, this is an absolute mess. But surely to goodness, they're always telling you about having your car right, and yet their equipment is in a mess.
Yep.
It's crazy. There should be a good... you should be able to get your car MOT'd in a good replica garage. Surely to goodness. When you're getting your car serviced, get a good mechanic and get it all checked over.
Well, that's what they do in GB.
Uh-huh, exactly. And yet we're supposed to be part of the United Kingdom. We're in a backwater here.
You know, I think as we sit this morning, and my brain's kind of trying to churn this before I say it, but all 4-year-old cars which now need an MOT, have they to come off the road? Because the department is saying all MOT tests are cancelled. They're going to get you tested as soon as possible. If you can't get an MOT, have you to come off the road?
Well, mine's not up to June. But four months, somebody said there, they weren't getting done.
Well, now that, again, That's anecdotal from one caller who claims he was told that. But if you look at the precise language from the Department for Infrastructure this morning, they're leaving themselves wriggle room. So they are not... I hit them with these questions yesterday and I hit them with them today again. What is the likely time span through which these cars will get a test? And they're coming off with all of this stuff of, well, we'll see it as soon as possible. That could be between now and Christmas.
It just takes a wee bit of common sense. Be a wee bit lenient with people.
And the exemption, don't forget, is 4 months. So have they given a four-month exemption because it might take 4 months to churn through those tests?
Well, I only live 1.5-2 miles away from my centre in Craigavon.
How on earth did these test centres get to this point? There's the score.
I don't know.
You know, and I think I think one of our callers has hit the nail on the head. We're all required and expected, rightly so, to check the tires on each of our cars to make sure that they are roadworthy. You know, if there's a bulb out on any of our cars, the police can pull you over and fine you. And yet the very department that is supposed to inspect the roadworthiness of our cars haven't noticed cracks in, what, 48 of 55 test centres throughout Northern Ireland? Harold, thank you.